So you're getting, if you get water, most of your water comes from probably close to those plots, so you have good water. And there's two water tables here, one around 300 feet and another lower one at 650. ConocoPhillips gets their, most of their water from the lower one. I don't know if your wells, I think some of them have the higher one, I don't think they're in the lower one or not. But, concentration. But what you need to know is terms. The only thing they can tell you about the money, I just want to tell you about terms. You're going to hear terms like state water. Santa Maria contracted with the state water. The water goes through the home, goes to Santa Maria. They blend it with their groundwater. They send it out to their customers. Their customers use it. They use it in the state, they flush the toilets with it, whatever they do with it, they put it back in the ground. When you get return flows, that's the water you're going to get. You're not going to get any new state water. So what they're doing is they're taking water from Santa Maria, drilling it in the ground, taking the return flows, and shipping it back in the pond. And the pond circle, which is over on the river, discharges a lot of water in there. You see there's a whole lot of agriculture down that canyon, like a swamp down there. That water also goes back into Santa Maria and into the groundwater, so you're getting some of that back too. But they're really just taking water from one part of Santa Maria, pumping it up here. You people aren't going to get used to what I'm saying. But next CFC is going to use it. And then it goes back into the groundwater. But there's no new water created. So I want you to think about that and let them tell you how much it's going to cost. I'm not saying they're being lied to, but I'm saying that there is a conflict on the truth of this thing. And you have engineers in courts saying one thing and the NCSC saying another. Now, I don't know if you want to believe it. It's up to you. It's your decision. You get to vote. Thank you very much. Okay, thanks, Bob. Oh, you're here?
Ladies and gentlemen, this is our newest Board of Supervisors member, Paul Teixeira. So I come in, glad to see you, Paul. Happy to be here.
Thank you, Nick, for being here today. Sorry, a little bit late, even though she had a very busy out there. But we're here to support the group in their endeavor to bring facts out about the water project. Don't really have a, so to speak, a horse in this race, but we want to make sure that all the facts gather, people get to make their own opinions, and get to know what's actually going to happen, how you're going to be affected, and what's going to happen to the water in the area, and what we're doing about it. So, like I said, we're here as observers. If there's any questions from our office, we'll be happy to address them afterwards. We'll be here for the whole meeting, and then we've got meeting in the home this evening. Any of you that want to buy the Prairie Homes, you got streetlights down there, and we'll be down to 50.
Thank you. Last name?
To Sheriff?
Okay, here's how things are going to go. We've got a PowerPoint presentation that's going to cover a lot of information, and I've got to say, this is a very complex issue. The issues around this whole thing are very complex, and it's difficult to distill them down to a few salient facts, but you are going to hear about the background behind this whole thing and how we got here. You're going to learn who the Mesa water suppliers are, the truth about our water supply, and the alleged salt water intrusion. You can learn how our aquifer is monitored now, the cost of the project, who will pay for it, guess who, and the impacts of the project on you, as well as your neighbors here on the rest of the Mesa, and what you can do about it. And one of the things that we'd like you to be thinking about when you go to this is we have a petition that we're gathering signatures on. Of course, it's not a binding petition of any kind, but it's informational that we're going to present to the Board of Supervisors to give the Board an indication of how we feel about this whole matter. We really need your signatures on it. After we're through with the presentation, we're going to have a question and answer session, and be thinking about that too. If you've got a question, you can ask these experts up here, and we'll do our best to answer them. Bob mentioned this brochure. I'd like to go back to it for just a second. I think everybody got one of these, didn't they?
Yeah.
In the mail?
No.
This was put together by a public relations firm that hired by the NCSC. It's pretty to look at, but doesn't contain much in the way of information. I'm particularly look at the opening line that we're facing a serious water shortage. I'm here to tell you that's not true. And we'll give you information that will verify that. They also have this threat of seawater intrusion over here. You know, the reality is every aquifer that interfaces with the ocean has a threat of seawater intrusion, but it can be thousands of years before it comes to reality. They make it sound like this is underway right now and it's about to happen, and if you don't do something, it will happen tomorrow. That's not true. And we'll give you the facts. Because we don't have hundreds of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars spent on a public relations firm or a pretty piece like this. But we do have the facts, folks, and we're here to share them with you. I'm kind of ashamed of the NCSC for putting this thing out. And I'm being kind about it. We think that there are one thing I want to clarify a little bit, and that is that we're not saying that our water supply isn't important to us and doesn't deserve our attention, and that we don't need to be paying attention to what's going on. Everything is fine. We're not saying that. What we're saying is that our water, our aquifer now is healthy. And we believe that we do need to take prudent steps to protect it and protect it into the future. But those prudent steps are not the ones that are being offered to us now. We believe there are prudent steps that can be taken. Let's get to our presentations. Tonight our presentations are going to be made by Pat Eby. I think a few of you might know her. And Bill Petrick. Both of these folks have impressive academic records and multiple degrees. Both have been working hard on this issue for several years. Pat was a resident in Blackwood Mountains here in Woodlands, 30 years in executive senior management in both private and public sectors. Bill is a Blackwood resident, past president of Blackwood Management Association, a registered professional engineer, a Pomo small business owner, and publisher of our website, which we'll give you the addresses to before you leave tonight, so you make sure that you can go online and get into our website. I think we need to get started with that path in your first step.
Thank you. Our first slide, who are the most faithful water users? There are four major providers of water, conservators, often, or suppliers. Those are the first four that are in full space. And the number comes to light on how much water they take out of your aquifer generally in a year. So NCSC 2560, I think this was last year's numbers, Woodlands 810, Golden State 1290, Rural 880. In addition, Marshall Phillips uses about 1,200 acre feet a year out of our aquifer, and private well for agricultural and households have taken about 5,500. So in total, the aquifer, our question of the aquifer in the home basin, uses about 12,240 acre feet a year. Now, the top four only use about 45%, but we're the ones that are going to pay for the width. Next slide. What is the waterline interconnect project? It's construction of a pipeline that will connect the city of San Diego water supply to NCSC's water supply. The plan is to import 3,000 acre feet per year, and the contract, the MOU between the two, goes until 2085. But it's basically for the pipeline itself to pay for it, a 30-year bond. The problem with PSG has pushed the plan, really, since at least 2001, I found rather, for the pushing this pipeline. The plan is binding on signers to the 2005 stipulation agreement, and it commits the signers to support support the WIC. Now that means Blacklight is one of the living, so the management of Blacklight has to support the WIC. Very interesting language that was put into the legislation, into that piece of litigation, that says they must support it and conversely cannot oppose or support anyone else who opposes it. So you will not hear from anybody who signed the WIC, any of the lawyers, any of the participants, you will not hear anything negative about the pipeline because legally they're not allowed to say so. But I'm a private citizen, I can tell you. The situation does have a cancellation clause that says any litigant that signs it can go to the court and appeal and ask for that section, which is section 6A, to be removed from the legislation. In other words, the court recognizes it might be unaffordable, it might not be a good solution, it might not happen. So they provided a means to take it out. Very simple means. Next slide. What is the cost? We estimate that it will cost $400 million, and I have NCRC paper to show this. I'm not making any of the numbers up. $400 million, actually, if they start with 3,000 entities a year, it's actually going to be $435 million. I figured this cost, on starting with 2,000 entities and in 10 years increasing it to 2,500. But Michael Prune, the general manager of NCRC, stated in the newspaper, in the Adobe Press, that they were going to begin with 2,000 entities. So I changed my numbers in my basic spreadsheet, but I did change this because 400 million, it's been under agreement. It's going to cost about 80 million for the bond for the pipeline itself, the bonding cost and the interest. But the real kicker to me is that we have to pay this $1.725 million to San Maria every year that we use that pipeline. That's called Operation Maiden. But it really isn't Operation Maiden. Because NCRC has to provide all the Operation Maidens for the pipeline. What this pays for is Santa Maria's cost for their state water project bonds. That's what I was thinking. The water cost. This is what nobody's talking about in NCRC. And what I feel is the real kicker to this plan. It's the cost of water that's going to kill us all. The source of these, if you want to look on NCRC's website, you have to look on September 9th, the agenda for 2009, September 9th, and all the costs will come out of the Wallace Group report that identifies what each water surveyor is going to have to pay, what portion, and how much money that is. And the annual cost, right, labeled right in there, for the pipeline and its cost, not the water. The water cost is based on the City of San Maria statement, and I can show you the document, that says that water in 2007 is $1,443 per acre foot. Now, San Maria increased, they had 4 years on this piece of paper, and they increased the water cost 5% from 2008 to 2009, and 2009 to 2010. So I did a spreadsheet that increased the cost 5% every year, and the total was $268 million. Now that total is only beginning with 2,000 acre-feet. If I increase the 3,000 acre-feet from year one, the total is $302 million for the water. Next slide. How are we going to pay these costs? NCSD has asked the county to establish an assessment district. Now, I learned yesterday that NCSD thinks it can do the assessment district on its own and doesn't need the county. Well, that would be interesting because I don't know how you can tax NCSD. I don't know how you can tax privileged residents who are not customers. I don't know how you can tax the state. I don't know how they can tax rural water companies. That's taxation without representation because we have no voice on NCSD 4. So that will be interesting to see if that comes down. But at the present time, they've asked the county to float the bonds, okay? And the county is still thinking about doing it. Water and some of the maintenance costs will be added to monthly and bi-monthly water bills. The top one, the bond, will be below your tax bill. Okay, that'll be on your tax bill. But the water cost will be added to either monthly or bi-monthly water bills. Homeowners will be mailed away the ballot that's only for the pipeline construction. If they get this done, homeowners will receive a weighted ballot to approve or disapprove the project by the fall, If the rate seems to move in, they move to next spring. We don't have to agree with the schedule. This is a type of ballot under Prop 218 that requires them to mail the ballot and you say yes or no and mail it back. And those that are mailed back determine whether the property is safe. Now, this will be a weighted ballot. It will depend on the size of your property. So if you have a third of an acre or less, you will have one unit benefit. If you own more, if you own between 0.4 and 0.7 acres, this is sort of general. It changes from district to district, water compared to water compared. It will be 1.7. And if you have an acre, it will be 2. It will take double the amount for the assessment district. The water, however, I would assume is going to be based on your water use for NCSD customers. I don't know how they're going to do the water. I know here, we will not receive any water. Gold State will not receive any water, and rural won't receive any water, but we have to pay a portion of it. So that will be added on to our water bill, I think. Okay, so 50% plus one of those weighted ballots approved, it will pass. Then the suppliers each have to pay based on what it says in the stipulation. And CFD is picking up 66.7%, except that the 3,000 they receive is a little bit higher. Woodland 16.7% or 66 million, Golden State 8.3, 33 million, and Rural 33 million. Now that then is allocated across our customer base. So it depends on how many customers they have, how much you're going to have to pay. Okay, next slide. Who's going to use it? NCFD is going to use all of it, and then other payers will help pay for it. Now the theory is that it will reduce the amount of pumping in the aquifers, so other purveyors will benefit accordingly. Rural, of course, has no connection whatever. Golden State and Woodlands have an air tie for emergency purposes only. So we could get water, but rural cannot. Okay, next slide. This slide includes the Woodlands is specific. It will give you an idea of when you break these costs down what it will be. So, Woodlands has 1,566 units of benefit. There's going to be about 1,300 homes here. So, and almost all of those homes will be one unit of benefit. The condominiums will have only 0.7 because they have no real property. So, the other numbers up there, the first over 1,300, are allocated to other pieces of property. So, there's a business park, there's going to be a whole shopping area eventually, and so on, that will pay extra benefit units. But altogether, 1,566. Now, the capital cost for Woodlands is going to be $350,000 per ship. Operation and maintenance, $240,000. That's that piece of Ocean Santa Maria. So that total cost is going to be $590,000. The cost for you to benefit is $376,000. Okay, that doesn't sound too bad, actually. Because we're already paying supplemental water, so some of them are already paying on a water bill. But there's only 140 properties sold, so that's only 155,000 of that 590,000 bill. Now you can do the math, folks. Our developers are going to pay the rest. How deep do you think the cost is? The cost of the Monarch Club, the ongoing cost, residents are going to have to pay, they're 90% units. Okay? That's going to be a tax bill of $32,840. These are the little numbers Rob Miller didn't quite convey in his presentation. And these are the numbers that don't come out of anything from the FDSD. Next slide, please. So, Woodlands share is at 16-17% and so forth. So, these are the water costs. And I have the talks from Blackwell. There's a lot of people from Blackwell. I'll bring them to you for the cost of one. Year one, $1.5 million to our ship. That's going to cost $759,000 to build them, or $485 per home. That's based on one of the beds for each home. $485. Now, again, the rest of that money comes from our developer. Because it has to be paid. That's the bill that has to be paid. And by the way, the MOU with San Maria says we have to pay the 2,000 equity for the first 10 years whether we take any or not. Year 5, I estimate 5% per year increase. We're now up to $5.8 million for the women, $970,000, $619,000. Go to year 10, and we go up even more. $7.8 million, $1.3 million, $829,000. Every year, these costs, there is no limit, there is no cap to what the San Maria can charge us. They can charge energy costs, they have. We pay, it's a difference of $206 per acre foot for energy costs. But if energy increases, they charge us 50% of the difference, and that's based on the CPI index. So if we have inflation and our energy costs go, these costs are moving. They won't stop. Okay, so that's the end. Wait, I want to talk about one more thing, and that's the last thing cost. Year one for Blackwood. Now, Blackwood, we estimate, has NCFG has 5,880 units of benefit and 4,100 customers, roughly. And I think it's about 5,900 units of benefit. So, people that have third of an acre will pay $515 in water costs year one. Additional water costs. By the time you get to year 5 or year 6, 658. Another 5 years, 840. Now, if you own an acre, you double that. Now, NCFG, people are going to stop using water, so that's a real question, and they've considered this, okay? Because people, if it's based on water use, or maybe it's just going to be a tax on your water bill. I don't know. You're going to actually get this water, people in Blackwood, because NCFG is going to pump this water to its customers. Oh, in Golden State, $136 first year, $174 after 5 years. You're only doing 8.3%, so it's $222. Golden State is not so big. They've got a lot of customers to absorb that cost. Rural is going to start with $214 in addition, and then $273, and then $349. And then go on and on and on. So, you know, when you look at it over 30 years, it's an extreme increase. And the acre foot cost, I calculated this the other day for some of our county people. The acre foot cost of this project, in existence in 2012, would be the construction cost on the on end are $1,437 per acre foot. For the water cost, it's $1,515. When you combine them, it's almost $3,000 an acre foot. Now that is very expensive water. Boyle did a study on desalinization in 2007. And they estimated that the per acre cost for construction was $1,400. And that water, the operation and maintenance of the water and the pipeline and all that, the annual cost was an additional $1,100. So the total cost of a desal plant, including construction over 20 years, not 30, was $2,500 an acre foot. We're already over that substantially in year one. This is a very, very expensive project. Okay. That's enough for me, and so this is the time when I turn this over to Bill Peter, who is going to give you some background on the aquifer and kind of how we got here. And so this is our intro. How do we get here? Whiskey is for drinking, but water is for fighting. We'll stop in Bombay in California.
Thank you all for coming. going to do that.
We didn't rehearse very well for this. So what I'll spend a few minutes on is the technical aspects of the water situation and review some of the claims and how we got to where we are in the water litigation, probably everybody has heard about. Back in 1997, a major lawsuit was filed to determine water rights. That's what all the litigation involves about, not whether we have seawater retreat or whether we're running out of water. It's water rights. And it comes into play if overlying farmers feel that the purveyors are using all the water, they don't have enough water for their crops. They have the right, they have the rights part, and so that was one of the key items in the water litigation. Well, obviously, to solve that, they have to figure out whether there was a problem in the first place and whether there was overdraft. And so you'll hear that word a lot here, and so we'll get into that later. The lawsuit kind of dragged in everybody, hundreds of litigants, including all the purveyors, because there's so many wells. I think they finally limited it to anybody with 10 acres or more and a well. So there were still hundreds of them included in the lawsuit. The lawsuit was moved to Santa Clara. They heard testimony for 6-some years, experts from all over trying to show that there was overdraft. 2005, they finally came up with a stipulation agreement amongst all those who wanted to cut their losses. And so the stipulation agreement included a clause about the Waterline Intertie Project. At the time, they told the court that the capital cost would be about $6 million. And back in the stipulation agreement, there was no mention of capital costs. I think the assumption was the pipeline should be built. So there was mention about the percentage of who would pay for the actual water, but nothing about capital cost. The one good thing that came out of it from a technical standpoint was the court, after 6 years of tech expert testimony, determined that there was not overdraft. There wasn't any overdraft at that time, nor had there been in the past on basis. So that was a key criteria. But some of the results of that litigation were that the court did set up 3 management areas. These are administrative areas, not hydrological areas. There's a big one in Santa Maria. We have the MMA of Mesa. And then there's Northern Cities area, the North Carolina Grover Beach. Or that area, and I'll show you that later. A majority of those hundreds of litigants signed the stipulation, and there are still some that haven't signed it, are still litigating, but I think there's now an appeal, so that's a separate issue that I don't think really has to do with the water itself. But I could be wrong, and somebody here will correct me. But one thing they do is, these are all technical groups, this is not lawyers, these are all technical people, and they meet on Mesa, they meet once a month, but they produce an annual report on the health of their areas. And so if there's any problems, it gets highlighted to the court, and in fact, if there's termed as a severe water shortage, the court could come back in and take some action. Okay, so here's what we're talking about. The water basin is this whole area. And here's Santa Maria down here. Here's Napolo, somewhere about the town of Napolo there. We're somewhere in here. And then there's the Northern Cities area up there. So this is a large water basin. Now, to imagine how the water moves, picture this
tilted
up. The bottom part down here is way higher than obviously up here, because that's where the ocean is. So this whole basin is tilted. And why that is important is water moves from higher pressure to lower pressure. So as long as the pressure is going this direction, that's the way the water goes. So if the pressure along the coast ever gets flat or going this direction, that's how you get seawater intrusion. And just in case there's a few people out there that don't realize that seawater intrusion is not like a tsunami or a dam break. It's, like I say, the pressure, fresh water pressing against the seawater, and if the pressure is greater on the seawater, it will push this way, and greater on the fresh water, it will push the other way. And so, thousands of years, pressure is going this direction, and it still does. And we, and the county has drilled several wells along this area, and they monitor both the water level, which is an indication of the pressure, and chloride concentration. So they've been monitoring this for decades, and we've never had any indication of seawater intrusion, and we its current conditions are still like that. So the threat of seawater intrusion, that's really pushing it. I would think the threat of seawater intrusion is when you get high chloride concentration there, but we don't have that. Next slide. Okay, so one of the concerns here is who's watching over this, our water supply? And now that the board has taken over and established these technical groups, they are watching our water supply, so we don't have to depend on NCSD or Golden State or even purveyors or even farmers to say we've got a problem. We're constantly being monitored and analyzed, and the county has always taken data. They get data about twice a year over hundreds of wells in the county. So it's not like this is a new thing. It's been going on for decades. It's just that now we've got some attention and some experts to look at the data and flag problems. So the alternate management areas have submitted reports for the last 3 years since the final judgment was made, and they have some very specific criteria to protect water supply. Pat?
Next slide.
One of the key items on the MESA that the technical group established was a correlation between what they call a key well index, which think in terms of specific wells scattered throughout the MESA. They average the water levels every spring of those as 8 wells, and that represents sort of an average value of the MESA. And they correlate to rainfall, which is this curve. So we know rainfall is up and down, and magically the water level is up and down. And these curves actually are much closer if you put them on top of each other, that they separated at this their annual report. They separated at this so you can see the trending. And this is 35 years of data, collected by many different people, using probably different instruments, there's uncertainties, rain gauges, whatever. It's amazing it's this close. So there is a correlation between our water level and the annual rainfall. What's interesting in this is that over this 35-year period, there's been an increase in urban pumping by the purveyors of roughly a factor of 3. But it doesn't show in this correlation. So right now, I make the claim that the amount we're taking out by the purveyors is not influencing how So just to repeat this, that the water levels correlate to those of the rainfall, the urban pumping doesn't seem to affect it, and there's no study or research that suggests that it will have any effect on this new well index. They're claiming that it's going to level out the water levels and kind of help. There's no study, there's no data on that, it's just something that came out of nowhere. And another interesting point is key well index is also a basis for trigger points that affect the water supply. Like I said, there's a point at which the FERC will come back in and take over. Whether the WIP is there or not, that would be this line, plus some other criteria. But the idea being, the FERC doesn't care what to do to manage your water supply, but if it ever gets down here, they'll come in and obviously they'll probably start cutting pumping and possibly impose very expensive fixes, but that's what it does to the county and the purveyor to stay up below that line. And this line here is called potentially severe water shortage condition. And you'll notice that this is it's like a warning line, and it occurs, if you count it 35 years, about a third of the time we're below the line. And this is natural. This area is a semi-arid, and we have varying rainfall, and so it goes up and down, and a third of the time we're actually below this line. But anytime we're below the line, there's a concern that, it could keep going. And it hasn't in the past, and we hope it won't in the future, but that's the thing they have to control. But the WIP, since there's no indication that it affects it at all, the interesting thing is we have to pay for that good water for two-thirds of the time. We don't need it up here, but the MOU says we're going to take it and pay for it. Okay, next slide. We tried to take some, what's the justification for this? One of the claims in that fancy brochure was the threat of imminent seawater intrusion or whatever, and one of the studies back in 2004 that was probably used in a court case had a specific quote in it that seawater intrusion is not an imminent threat, and a time lag of many decades is likely before that would result in any pumping or evidence of seawater intrusion at the coastline. So we've known for a long time that this isn't really a threat, that it's something we have to monitor, and we are doing that. So, okay? Will the WIP help our water supply? Well, it certainly won't guarantee a good reliable source of supplemental water in times of drought because we're taking it from another part of the aquifer. If we have a drought, so does Santa Maria. And so they even have some clauses that if they have a drought out there, that they don't have to deliver water to us. Let's see. Okay. Pumping and transporting water will flow north anyway. And again, no analysis, but is there some effect on the fact that we're taking it out down there so it doesn't flow normally? If you pump too much down there, then there's not as much pressure, it doesn't flow north. So, unanswered questions. The real key though is we have time to explore better options. We've had huge rainfall this last year. That will keep the aquifer charged for a while, and we have time to really explore some options that are meaningful for the whole region, not just for MCSB. Okay, the final thoughts to go away with here is that we feel the basin is healthy. There's no state to date, they have not done any technical evaluation of it, which is a little strange. They're not supposed to be political, but they really need to do the technical evaluation. It hasn't been done. And in the future, we feel that the town needs to establish regional planning efforts, and that's sort of why Paul Sheriff, supervisor to Sheriff is up here, that we would like to persuade him that there's enough interest in the community here to have the county start doing more in terms of regional planning and making sure that all parts of the county are equally addressed so that the water supply is correct for everybody, not just a few. I'll turn this back over to Blair now.
Thank you. This flight that's up here right now probably underscores one of the most important things that we think we can do this afternoon. Let me ask you a question. Based on the information that you have before tonight and or this afternoon and this afternoon's meeting, how many of you would vote to support the WIP, this $400 million project to bring water to the Mesa?
I don't feel like I still have enough information. Like, what are the other options? I mean, eventually we're going to run out of water. Are we just going to ignore it until it happens?
And that's a good question. When we get to the Q&A, as we sit here right now, anybody that wants to vote for a $400 million project, let me ask another question then. You folks that are here, how many of you would support petitioning the county through the Board of Supervisors to get involved in a regional plan to protect our water supply? And thank you. Everybody that raised their hand, I hope that you'll sign our petition today. We're going to, one of the things we're going to be doing shortly as we go into this question and answer session is passing around a petition, asking for your signature on it. If you'll please sign it for us, eventually we'll be delivering this to supervisors to share with the rest of the board. Also, we have other petitions that are available for you. We encourage any of you that will to take the petition with you and get your friends and neighbors to also sign those, and they can be returned here to the mailroom here.
There isn't a box there yet, but there will be by tomorrow.
There are instructions on the handout as to where you can drop them out.
You're just saying there are instructions on the handout that will help you understand how to collect the signatures and Pat said anybody didn't hear that there's right now there's a box in the mailroom, but there will be one by tomorrow where they can be dropped off there and then we'll collect them as over the next couple of weeks, I guess, or however long it takes. Pat's mentioning that there is a handout too that has Pat's on it regarding what you've seen here tonight. It also has our website information on it, so that you can go online and connect to our website. We also have an email address where if you have questions come up in the future and you'd like to get an answer, or you'd like to have a representative to talk to, or you can contact us through that. What we'd like to do is go to a question and answer session, and we'd like to ask folks to step up to the mic here. Ask folks to step up to the mic and let us hear what your questions are. There's two other gentlemen here at the table that you haven't been introduced yet tonight. I'd like to mention Reggie Dion and Vince McCarthy, are members of our steering committee that will also help answer questions. So if you have questions, please step up to the mic and let us hear it.
What are your plans to get the word out to the rest of our residents? This is a very small percentage, and I know you mentioned you had one other forum or what have you, but I think it's important to get the word out to everyone other than, say, my immediate neighbors, which, of course, I would talk to.
Yeah, well, you know, I wish I knew the answer to that question, because that's what we'd be doing. That's what we're trying to do now. How do we get the word out? We're trying to use email lists that are available to us. There have been write-ups in the local papers following our meetings. We are going to have other meetings. We're trying to touch base with as many people as we can and get this information to them. We believe our information can help, so we want people to get it. Maybe one of the best ways we can do this is if you talk to folks and they either go to our website, get the information on the fifth, or attend one of the other meetings that's going to take place in the future.
Excuse me. One of the things we have capability of, on the website, these petitions and the data that was presented here will be available, and ideally, if people are interested, they can send emails of this stuff to their friends. Usually you have a lot of email friends in the neighborhood. You may not see them every day. But I strongly suggest to send it to them, and there'll be copies of the petition on the website. And if anybody needs copies, call one of those numbers or call the website. Address the website, and we'll get you as many copies of the petition as you want.
What's the website? The Napoleon Water Pact?
Yes.
The Mesa Community Alliance, I think, is where we'll post the petitions. The presentation will be on the Napoleon Water Pact.
Also, I've contacted the Santa Fe Times. They're going to let me do a guest editorial. I'm in the process of writing it now. It will come out in Santa Fe Times. I'm already done editing it for me. You'll see it. So it should be in the next week or so. But it will cover pretty much all of this, and it should allow you to take a look at it and see what you think is right or do what you think is right. It's your room. It's your problem.
Hi. I'm one of the rural water people, and this is my second meeting to come to this because I think it's that important. What I just wanted to say briefly, it's the old-fashioned telephone tree. We had a big hiccup right down by JJ. There was the Oceana card room that wanted to move in, and I got news of it from my next-door neighbor, and about 2 days later, one guy in the neighborhood was just walking house to house with a clipboard, introducing himself, saying, you know, we don't want this. Can you, please, here's a petition. Can I put you on the email list? And I said, absolutely. I took care of my street. My street was 25 people. We had 700 signatures to the county board supervisors within 3 weeks. No, don't want a card room. You know, if you want to go gamble, go someplace else and not, you know, 100 feet from some school. Thank you very much. So it's easy to do. You just have to go meet your neighbors. You belong to a golf group, a book club, a garden club, Napomo newcomers, whatever. I pray printed up one of the flyers, and I put it, I have like 25 copies in my car. So whenever I run into anybody, I say, here, read this. It's here, read this. So it's pretty easy to do. And you get to meet really interesting people. Could somebody back up a little bit for me and explain, I know this is, because Jackie was at the last meeting, this whole litigation thing that kicked it off. Was Santa Maria started the lawsuit and they got everybody all wound up, and why was it done? I mean, who was getting water that wasn't supposed to be getting water? Does anybody have a brief description of it? I mean, I don't want to get into a 20-year, this he said, she said, they said, but just, that seems to be what it started.
I think it started with the Santa Maria Conservation, Water Conservation or something, District Conservation, and it started out, they were suing to prevent from the purveyors from taking too much water, and I think that's blossomed from there, and then they countersued, and pretty soon everybody was in it, but maybe Supervisor Teixeira or John Snyder would know. We have some experts.
It just seems like that's what kicked it all off, and everybody got this big brouhaha over, I'm going to get my water, and I don't care if anybody else doesn't have it. And
right.
I still don't understand, if all of us are just 45% of users, and Conoco and primarily agriculture are the lion's share of the water, why do they not have to get hit up for this water pipeline? I mean, if we're all drinking from the same well, essentially we are, isn't it fair that everybody pick up part of the cost if that's necessary? And are there any newer facts and numbers on a desal plant? From more current than 2007. Desalinization, if we want water, it's called Pacific Ocean. It's right out there. If they want more water, go get it,
Well, the numbers for 2007 are pretty good. I think
yeah.
They built in a 20-30% contingency to those. So they won't be that far off at this point. And this is to produce 6,300 acre feet of water, not 3,000. 6,300 acre feet of water. Now, if you don't need that much, you can do less, but the cost will go down on the operation and maintenance, and not go down on the construction. But the construction cost, in 2007, $78,700. Boyle Engineering, who I believe is now ACOM, with the contingency, with the cost escalation, they put in another $19.5 million, so it's $98 million. We are not very far off from the construction cost of a WIP, and that doesn't even include the $1.725 million that we pay every year to Santa Maria.
And one last thing, and then I'll stop hogging the microphone here, but this memorandum of understanding, there's something in the Santa Maria Times the last couple of days, that $37,500 has been paid from NCSD to Santa Maria. It's non-refundable. It's kind of like this deposit on the WIP. And
that was a down payment, and it will be credited. $37,500.
But that's not wrong. What happens if to me, it's clearly patent clear. If you have three brain cells to rub together, you're not going to vote for this thing. NCSD has a long history of making enormous promises with no intention of keeping them, as anyone in Black Lake recently will remember, and many residents in San Pomo. But why, if this pipeline is not built, what happens to this memorandum of understanding?
Can't answer that question.
Okay. Thank you. One last thing. Mr. Bailey? Am I correct in understanding that there is the water pipe, the state water pipeline, right out by where Willow Road is coming out on the highway?
Right.
There about?
I was in there. I put it in. There was a valve left over
the state water project. They put them all in. Mr. Jones told me it was one left over. I said, well, in case there's an emergency,
We have a real emergency. The state water thing has a steel network. If there was a real emergency, all our water went out. They could come in, put a turn on it, and say water pressure. And give us water for a short period of time. Now, they're not going to give us water in perpetuity. But I said we need that valve in case there's an emergency. Also, the farmers have 10 acre feet of water in the home. I said they should have a way to access it. For a while, I think we could have gotten one of those for free. I think it cost us around $7,000 to put it in. But when you go past Melco, past Melco's farm, and high school, you'll see a large concrete structure. Right about where the little road is, that's the valve. Now, it's not a turnout. The home is the only community that had a valve and didn't have to pay anything extra except for the water. So there is access to state water, but I think for some reason we get state water.
Thank you.
Good answer.
Hi, I live in the Woodlands, and my questions are two. One is there a place where we can find a timeline for the political activities that will ensue after this meeting beyond the petition? So it sounds urgent, but I have no concept of time about how the litigation will move forward, voting, or any of these other kinds of activities, and I'd like to know. And the second thing is, I'm new to the area, newer, so it's very odd to me to listen to the relationship between the POMO, the NCSC, and San Maria. It's almost like they defected or something. It's almost like they're supposed to be on our side, but they're on their side. So if somebody can please elaborate about that relationship so I understand better how that came about. It doesn't, I just don't get it.
I can answer the first part of the question. I maintain email lists for Trilogy. I built them on the contact page of our website. You will have our common website here. And those that have emails in that contact list, I maintain those and I will send out notices when everything is critical. I know that Bethlehem District is coming down and I know there's some major change. I'll send an email out. I sent an email out to, did you get one?
I did.
I sent an email out to probably 400 or 500 people. And that there's multiples in one family, so it's not.
Is this a 5-year thing we're looking at? 10 years? Is it 2 years? Is it next year?
It's a 30-year bond. It will be for 30 years.
But when does it come up for focus around?
I don't know. It was up to NCSC, and it was supposed to be last fall. That was in the spring, and now it's maybe sometime this year, and maybe not.
Okay.
When it's announced, we'll tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, just to add to that, yeah, they have been delaying this. You're correct. What's the schedule so we can plan? Well, that's why we're kind of flying blind here, because we don't know when they're going to finally get to a tax assessment vote. But in the meantime, they're spending a lot of money on this project. And so,
Is there anything that we are able to do to cut off from spending that money before it's been approved?
We haven't found it yet.
Seems like a reasonable thing to ask.
You can write to the board of supervisors. You can call them. You can pass the petition around, and we will get to the board of supervisors. Let them know that there's opposition. They haven't heard much in the way of opposition to this. All they've heard is what a great thing this pipeline is. They've only heard the positive. This is the first time they're stuck in here, some opposition. And we need the community to rise up and speak, because they're under the impression that the community's in favor.
Say it's NCSC?
No. The Board of Supervisors.
What?
Our supervisors,
okay.
The county supervisors, make some final decisions. They think the communities are in favor of this. And we need to tell them in no uncertain terms that there's a lot of opposition to it. So write letters, sign petitions, pass the petition on. You'll get a copy of the petition for your own use. You can pass it around. There'll be a lot of signature blocks in it. And if you go to the website, you can get copies, even have copies.
The question about NCSC, I'll take the answer sitting down.
Show up on Tuesday on public comment for a supervisor. That's a good time to show up. Sure, 9:00.
Yeah, I'm interested about that.
It would be good. But can I have an answer to the other question? Please, somebody.
NCSB is
the
NCSB. NCSB.
Nobody knows?
I asked NCSB.
Oh.
You want to
know? Wow. What I want to know is, NCSB as an entity sounds like it's over here, and then there's Santa Maria. And NCSB is called the Pomo, it's the first word, if I understand it, which is where we live. So how did they get so interlinked and supportive of what's going on in Santa Maria against what might be in our best interest?
Well, this came about with the signing of the court, because the court, the lawyers and stuff got together, and they said everybody has to sign the stipulation, and the only place NCSD had a couple of places where they could go for water. There was a couple better places than this pipeline. One of them was that one of the local ranchers was going to donate a big chunk of property down here in Rosa Park and allow you to pump from there for $3 million to build the pipeline. I mean, there were other alternatives, but after I left office, NCSD, for some reason, lost this $6 million, and I have no reason why they did that and went forward with this project. There's a couple other alternatives. They own property on this side of the river, in the Santa Maria River, where they could drill and pay something into the Churchill management and pump water without crossing the river. I mean, there are other options. But they chose this option. I wasn't on the board, so I wasn't part of that. I was really scared that $6 million is a lot for you people to handle. This is pretty expensive.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm a local resident here. I heard recently that about 75% of the cost for Woodlands residents is already being built into our monthly bills. Is that approximately?
Well, you pay, and I don't know, I didn't get a clear answer when Rob Miller did his presentation, whether some of that money is going to go toward the cost of the construction cost of the assessment is to lower what we would pay. We have all paid $24 a month since we had water, since we had our home. So all of them are 5 years old. So those 445 houses now here are paying $24 a month for supplemental water. Some of that, and that's all going into a fund, and some of that money, and they may keep some for reserves. I haven't heard how that's going to be distributed, but it could lower the total cost of our share of that bill. And then, and so that would be paid ahead of time. Or it may be used to lower, because the 1.725 million is an annual charge. How that's put into the assessment district, I'm not quite sure, because Rob Miller said you could pay off your share of the pipeline all in a lump sum. But are you going to pay your piece of that $1.725 million that's paid every year? See, I don't quite understand that connection yet, and I'm waiting for more documents to try to understand. So I don't know how that supplemental water fund is going to be distributed, but it could be used to defray the cost of the water fund. It could be used, you know, in any way, and I don't know what the answers are. The owners of Woodlands Ventures, who really holds the lion's share of the boat here, they have the lion's share of those benefit units. And they said before, after the ballots are out about when that's going to happen, they will tell us how they're going to vote their shares. But they won't do it until then. And I don't have an idea.
And if we did get into a water shortage, how fast could we react and build the pipeline?
18 months.
The pipeline probably can be done in a very short period of time, but if we get into a water shortage, we will all do what we've done before in water shortages, we'll conserve. And what happens in a drought period is you realize that, you know, the wells are getting lower and so forth. I was in Monterey, we went through a 7 or 8 year drought, and you conserve water. You can only water on certain days. You can't wash your car. You have to go to a place that recycles the water. You know, if you don't flush your toilet as much, maybe you don't shower, we take shorter showers. We all move to our thing and it conserves water. We here in the Woodlands conserve a huge amount of water. And this is one of my big things. I think retention basins can solve 3/4 or maybe 110% of our problem. The retention basins around the golf course. Rob Miller has told me to save 200 acre feet a year. Return that much to our aquifer. That's one fourth of what we use. Well, we can build more retention here. The whole community of the home, all of it. There's lots of open space to build retention areas to capture the rainfall when we get it, and it flows down into the aquifer. Here we had water in those spaces for a week and a half because we had so much rain at once it didn't flow to begin. And slowly, and slowly, and slowly comes into the aquifer.
Let me interrupt for just a second, if I may. I just wanted to mention the folks here that didn't answer me about questions about NCSD and where they're going. I'd like to mention that they meet twice a month on the first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. in the NCSD Cambridge that are just near the freeway itself. And there's a public comment period at the beginning of each one of their meetings. And if you have questions for them, or if you have thoughts that you'd like to share with them about the WIF and what the board's doing there right now, that's a good time to share it with them. And I'm sure they'd be happy to hear from all constituents out there. That's the first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. So, go down there and let them hear your thoughts too. Thanks.
Hi. I'm Luke here at Trilogy, and one of my immediate concerns, I know I worked on the census, one out of three homes here are second homes. So the homeowner lives in L.A., Orange County, Bay Area, whatever. They're going to go ballistic when they hear about this, because they all pay right now the minimum water charge, which I think is $215 every 2 months. But anyway, my question is, how are we going to get the word out to them?
Well, if they have an email and they're on the email list.
But how would we know that?
I don't know which homes are second and third homes.
Right, I know.
You can tell them when you see them, if you see an agent, tell them to get their email. You know, my email I publish is pat.eb1@gmail.com. So you can always email them. I make sure I add them to my list. I'll check them to see if they're there. If you know their names, you can tell me and I'll check to see if they're there. I have last name files.
Sure.
I have a house on Gulf Course.
We have a homeless association on our Gulf Course. And the homeless association sends me out things that says there's going to be a meeting about such and such. I never go. My house is big most of the time and I never show up. But your homeless association could send something out so that everybody will get it. And these people that don't live here, like whenever there's something going on, I get it in the mail. If I want to go over there and jump up and down, I jump in the car and I'm on my way to that. That's one way that you can get these people active. If they find out it's going to cost them money, they're going to go out
right
there.
It's like the announcement for this meeting was on the calendar on Friday. But you know, I don't know how many people if they don't live here don't read that calendar.
It wasn't on our monthly calendar, I know that.
No, it has not right.
My other big concern is how this election would work. If the Woodlands voted not to do it, and say the other three water districts voted for it, do we get sucked into the whole thing?
Yep.
It's based on the number of ballots that are returned by everyone.
Okay.
And all the ballots returned by you to the benefit. So if there's 2,000, if there's 5,001 people to the benefit that say yes, 5,000 that say no, it'll count.
Okay. I got it. And the people that voted just the four water districts?
Yes.
And Santa Maria doesn't get a vote?
No.
But they get the benefit. That's what I remember.
Santa Maria would vote for it.
Right. And there's 100,000, yeah. I mean.
Now, NCSD is trying to get parcels that do not have water service to share in the cost of construction. I don't know how that's going to work. It makes it very difficult to tell people in NCSD territory what they're going to pay on the construction costs. I'm just a little frightened because there were so many options and so many choices. And then I'm going to say people are going to send out a letter to those that have unapproved, or called unapproved lots. And they're going to charge them more, by the way, because they were unapproved. And they're going to pay that for 30 years. Okay. They're going to give them a choice to opt in or opt out. And I don't know if that happens. I really don't go to NCS meetings anymore. They've grown enough to buy you. Don't go anywhere.
Okay,
well,
anyway, that's it. Thank you.
Well, just one additional comment about the ballot. If it does come to the ballot, it's very important, but this is one of those strange deals where they're more interested in the no ballot than they are the yes ballot. Because this thing will pass unless we make it fail. In other words, they have a lot of yes votes, but it's the no votes that are really important in this election. So it's very important that we that oppose it make sure that we center about that in saying no. Most ballots, you vote for it, not even take it or leave it, so you don't vote on it, and a few yes votes pass. That will happen here too, if we're not active in making sure our no votes go in. Thanks.
Let me make a point. It's the number of return ballots. If you don't send a ballot in, zero. So if we get a lot of active people voting positive for it, and the disapprovers just sit back, they will win. If 15 people send in positive ballots and zero send in negative, they'll win. So it's the number of return ballots. It's very important. Get that word out to your neighbors, what have you.
Larry, can I make a comment on this?
Sure.
There's actually 10,225 people involved in this project of all the water companies. So you've got to think about getting them out of that game. It's very, very important.
The other thing is, it's only homeowners. Webs cannot vote on this. It's only if you own property. So if you own property, it's in your best interest to vote one way or the other.
Maybe it would clear a little confusion for me when I was reading the petition that was signed. Okay, here's a reminder of it. Santa Maria is in Santa Barbara County. It's not in San Luis Obispo County. Was the court orders made that made up the different parts, was San Luis part of that, or was it just Santa Maria? This is where my confusion comes in. We have the San Luis Obispo commissioners here. But what are they going to do to be able to, how can they go to the courts to affect something that is in Santa Barbara County?
It's my understanding that before the stipulation, the draft stipulation came out in 2005, before that was written, long before that, NCSC was talking to Santa Maria about a pipeline. And part of the reason for that is Santa Maria gets a lot of state water. We were told yesterday they want to be the water bearer, whatever that means. And I don't really understand that. But they seem to have a lot of connections with the Central Coast Water Authority, which determines, which controls the amount of the state water that we get and who gets what portion. And it's based on how much they get from the state, and then it's allocated according to your contract. It's a contract state. And Santa Maria, because they have a lot of water in their aquifer, that probably does not need state water. But the quality of water in Santa Maria is so poor, somewhat because of how they use their recycled water, that they need state water to give the community healthy water. And so they get state water to blend. Well, okay. They feel they have extra. They get an allocation of 17,000 acre feet a year. But they don't get that. The last 2 years, they're without 8,000. Well, the stipulation says if their water is poor, they have to use 10,000 acre feet in Santa Maria. They have to mix that with their water for their country. Then they would have no water that's shipped to us. Now, they've kind of gotten around that stipulation because Santa Maria wants this to happen. They make a lot of money on it, okay, in a lot of ways. So we're paying half of that water that they ship us comes out of our aquifer. We're paying full price for that. Down there, and you're still going to be paying the bill up here. So, you know, to me the whole thing doesn't make sense, and I don't know what's behind it. I keep thinking there is a money trail somewhere, but I can't find it. I'm not going to make allegations that I can't prove. I have no idea why. I have no idea why
and CSG started talking to them before 2001 to build the pipeline. At that point, they said, oh, we can build it ourselves for $6 million. We have $6 million in reserve. We'll build the pipeline. Well, we now have $25 million. And nobody's talking about the cost of water.
But all right. So when NCSD comes out, okay, to start, okay, the bond issue, okay, that has to be approved by the county. So we're trying to stop
it. If the county is trying to get out,
we can stop it before it even goes out.
Yes, what we're trying to do is get the county, who is also a litigant of the stipulation, so they can go to San Diego Airport. And ask the Senate Federal Courts to remove the section that deals with the pipeline from the stipulation. We're asking them to take that action. I don't think NCSC is not going to do it. Yeah,
right.
They're saying, oh no, we can't do it. That isn't yet. The court will listen to it. And maybe that's true. But if we take the cost, if the county would take the cost, as we're shown, and say this is not affordable, this will do serious harm to the Mesa, to the communities on the Mesa. It will do serious harm. And so we do not support this. We'd like that section kicked out of the stipulation. It's section 6A.
Okay. And that's how we'll do it.
The county agreed to do that. We've got to convince our supervisors to take that action. Okay. That's what we have to do.
Okay.
We have to get our supervisors to say yes. We'll tell our attorney to no.
Okay, so our first action is the petition to the county supervisors. In the meantime, can NCSD, before we have them take any action, or before they might possibly take any action, then NCSD could come out with requesting the assessment district.
Yeah,
then the vote would come in. So it's the petition and the vote are two things that need to come, that we need to work on.
We've been trying to talk the county into not doing the assessment district. And I think NCSD knows that. And so now NCSD is saying, oh, well, we can do the assessment district on our own for the whole region. Okay, that's pretty curious. We'll wait and see where that goes.
The county has to, they petition the county to do the assessment district. NCSD cannot do the assessment district by themselves. They have gone to the county and they want the county to form the assessment district. Now, if we can get our supervisor, then you have to get three supervisors up there probably to approve it, but if we can get the supervisor to approve it, then they go to the Santa Clara Court. The Santa Clara Court is like God in this. They go to God and they say, can we do this? God says, yes, you can do it, then you can do it, and this whole thing is moot. The Santa Clara Court is the ultimate authority, and your supervisor represents you, he'll do the best he can. If he can get two other votes, then they can do that. But the NCSD can't do this assessment district until somebody sets it up, and they cannot set it up themselves. And they have to go through the county to set this up, because they're not just assessing NCSD customers. They're assessing a whole bunch of people that are in the NCSD.
Right. Okay. So in other words, the county has to take the lead on that. But has that even been presented? They've already presented that to the county. So in other words, are we waiting for, like, when would the county vote come up?
Well, I think the county is waiting on NCSD. NCSD has not really finalized the cost, and they've not produced all the documents that are needed to form an assessment district. But we were told yesterday at a meeting in San Luis Obispo that NCSD is planning on doing the assessment district on their own. So we will wait and see. We
can they do that?
Mr. Supervisor?
I'm sorry, what? Can they do that? Can NCSD set up their own assessment district?
That's what we heard yesterday. They're planning.
I think that's a legal question that is still being resolved.
Okay.
And so we probably can't really answer that now. They currently feel they can, but they can't. The county at this point would probably assist them in going through the ballot for an assessment district if they asked them.
And how much influence is Santa Maria County going to come in with that?
have
Santa Barbara County.
Oh, Santa Barbara County.
No direction, let's say, but it'd probably be invisible.
Okay.
I'd like to just interrupt for just a second, if I might. Another thing that I don't think may have been made as clear as some of us would like it to be is that this pipeline is bringing water from Santa Maria, most of that water that is eventually going to get here anyway, subsurface. They're calling it supplemental water. I don't know how you get to the point where you take water from one end of your aquifer that's coming towards you anyway, pipe it down on the surface, and then try to stick it back in the ground again, and call it supplemental. It's water they're taking out of our aquifer and moving around in the aquifer. It's being blended with some state water. It's being blended with Twitchell water, which is used to replenish the water in the aquifer anyway. So, when you hear the words from NCSD, it's supplemental water, it should send off an alarm in your head saying, how does this become supplemental? It's our water anyway, or will be when it gets here, it's coming. It's just not coming in a pipeline. In Buffalo, right, a lot cleaner than because it's there to begin with. I just want to make that point. Supplemental in terms of the water that's being delivered here is probably because this is not certainly one.
First, I want to make it clear that I have no dog in this fight. So the comments I'm making aren't because I'm a big fan of the pipeline or anything. I just need to ask some questions. This has been going on for a long, long time. I mean, the people in this room have heard about this now. It's like it just came in. This has been going on for over 10 years. And I have attended countless NCSD meetings. So I went way back into the popular years of it. So I know everybody here. I do not know you and you personally, but I know Pat, Gretchen, Bill, and Dennis very well as the NCSD, current NCSD board.
You have more patience than I do.
So the point is, my concerns are, I don't think the pipeline is going to solve our problems. My concerns are is that the water in this area is possibly finite. We have one source, and that is the basin. So I just want to make sure we're solving that problem eventually. If your numbers are correct, and I remember those from the desal numbers that came out, 78 million. Sounds about right. I think it's probably close to 150 to 200 million for a desal plant to be working in today's figures. And that's if you get by with the Coastal Commission and all that. But let's just assume, it's also a timeline. If you started today creating a desal plant, going to the EIR, you're probably talking about a 25-year path, something like that. So I'm not agreeing that the pipeline is the way to go. I just want to make sure we're solving the solution. But I think we've got to get off the conspiracy theories thing. If this bill was held tomorrow, it would fail by a huge amount. The NCSD is concerned, the reason they keep delaying it, because it's not going to pass. So let's just assume it's not going to pass, but let's come up with a solution about how we're going to solve it long term. That's all. That's my point.
Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, this is a good one with the public health and the public works department. And supervisor Sherman is here with us. He explained to us that the assessment district also underwrites the project. So if something happens to the project and it goes into bankruptcy or something, the county then takes it over. This is why the county was being so careful about what's going to do in this situation.
Yeah, I've been about 7 years and I've been watching a $12 million price book of 15 and 27 and I paid for things before that I never got. So it's sort of there. I've lived in Santa Barbara for a long time, so we watched similar circumstances go. We had the drought in the late 90s, mid 90s, and then we put in desal because they figured, well, this is going to be a problem. And I'm kind of happy to see that the price they set is about $2,500 per acre feet. Whereas our price was $2,000 per acre feet. It's not as bad as it sounds, because when you're taking $60 acre feet was our lake water at the time, you're kind of mixing it in, your price comes down, you're not really paying the whole price because you're going to be taking some from groundwater also. So the prices we ultimately went with desal because it was there. But we did pay a fee for years to ultimately have state water, which they now have. And this comes back, I think, to the crux of where we're going around on this, is you're taking state water and there is a drought. And I remember when we had the fifth year of that terrible five-year drought, everybody was whining, if there's a problem, we take state water. The biggest entity will get the water, which is L.A. And the people in smaller areas, well, you don't have a pull to get it to come your way. So having something that has been stated is finite, it's coming from a pipeline, and then if there is water, it will come here anyway underground. But we have the water out here. They did a really fine job, I think, in Santa Barbara. They had modularized RO stuff all on the back of trucks so they could upscale it bigger if they needed to. And it was a really good deal. But then we got a lot of rain the next year, and they decided, well, we don't want to maintain this because it costs us $100,000 a year to use to have it up and not running, which is kind of chicken feed for the numbers I'm hearing now. It has been done, and it seems to work pretty well, but now they're on state water because it's cheaper. But they come back to the same thing. They've got 120 million people live down there, 120,000 people live there. If there's a state water problem and they're not bringing in the water to increase state water, lake water, they wind up with the same problem that will happen here. If we're buying from someone who doesn't have it, and of course Santa Maria can't be made to sell us water if they don't got it. So, I mean, looking at the same solution for everybody's problem is like, we got water out there. We could probably put in solar on the warmer side of our town. Or make a deal with COP over here with some of their refined, semi-refined oil and run it off of that. Something ought to be something that's always going to be there. I don't see paying increasing costs for decreasing returns.
We agree with you. We think that we haven't spent enough resources up to this point to investigate the viability of other sources of water. Desal being one of the most obvious ones, also one of the most politically difficult ones because of coastal pollution and all of that.
We went through some of those at the grand jury when I first came up here. Stuff makes you nuts.
It's very tough, but we don't believe that there's been time spent from an engineering or scientific approach to it to solve these problems that are solvable. They're being solved in other parts of the world, in other countries. We just need to stop this whip now. Preserve as many of those resources as we can to direct them into what we think of this. Going to be a viable option.
Yeah, this just looks like a big hole with money's going down, but I don't see a return if there's a shortage of water. That's my the biggest complaint about this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Just make a comment on diesel.
To do diesel, you need really a heat source. I toured one of the few diesel plants in the United States in Tampa, Florida a few years ago. And you have an excellent heat source out here coming close. And if you look at the figures, Niagara Falls uses almost as much water as two of your water companies. And they discharge that water after they're done with it out into the ocean because they have an outfall. Nobody really knows how much water they really use, but it all goes to the ocean. That water they think could be recycled and used on the golf courses or used as recycled water. This is probably one of the only refineries in the state of California that runs on pure water. Most of them in LA run on recycled water. And they could do that. If they made you diesel water, that there is a pipeline from some station to ConocoPhillips that is vacant, it's been vacant for some time, and one time you look into it to see if we could use it to run water back to some station. You could run water back to some station and then hook it in NCSD at some station. So it is not impossible to do diesel. What you need to do is get friendly with the oil companies because the oil company is really the place that can do it because they have the heat source.
You may want to look at Diablo Canyon. There's a lot of waste heat there that could be used.
That may not be in the existence of
the oil. Oh, I don't think so. Okay. Woodlands Mutual Water Company, January this year, we had our annual meeting. A supplemental water assessment said capital costs increased from $7 million to $23 million. Okay. they came down and told us that our assessment would probably be a total cost of $38 to $42 per month. We're already paying $24 now. I just don't understand. Now I have one number here. Also, now you're telling me the bill's gone up to $400 million. Well, that's a big question to answer here. But just tell me, how can I find your numbers on that? I don't know if I want to believe those numbers. And I won't sign a petition until, you know, I see some facts.
Pat.
Well, Pat's the one I can contact. Here she is.
Pat.
I need to see how you came up with $400 million. You don't have to tell me now. I'll come back.
The numbers and the source of the numbers that you have, and I'd like to suggest that maybe sometime you can
I'll contact you.
Okay, please do, because all of my numbers come out of specific documents that I've given to you. The only thing I extrapolate and I explain is I take the water and took that $1,423 from the NCSC, and that's a statement from San Maria to NCSC. That's the city of San Maria issued that statement 4 years cost. And I added 5% a year to that to get the sort of water. Other than that, this is where all my numbers come from.
Can I make a comment? I think I just talked with Rob Miller a little earlier today, and he told me, he said, his numbers are getting closer to Pat's. So, because she has questioned the numbers that have been presented at your board meeting or your thing you were referring to, they're going back and also looking at their numbers to see why they're different and where they're different. And I think over time, you will start seeing numbers very close to what Pat is giving you here.
24 million up to 400 million?
Well, no, 25 million is construction of the pipeline. That does not include the interest and the cost of the bond. So that's one cost. The second cost is 52 million that are has to be paid to San Maria at 1.725 million every year. And that multiplied by 30 years is $52 million. I round slightly, but not very much, okay?
He told me in January that it's $4 to $8. No, pardon me. Approximately $16 per month goes to the city of San Maria facilities.
Okay, that would be what you pay on your house.
Yep.
Okay. That's what you pay on your house. Yep. And everybody else in their house to be $1,566 sent to San Maria from the Woodlands. That's Woodlands' share. Woodlands pay 16.7% here. Okay.
But if it's going to cost me $38 to $42 per month, I figure, okay, I can live with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the first year. He doesn't add in the water column. I don't know if he's got any. I don't know where he gets his water column. Because if he's using my proposed number, $13.50 per acre foot, that could use a little differently from the state and from the city of Santa Maria that they would have charged $14.43 to NCSC in 2011. And I'll be glad to give you that piece of paper. And I tell you where I got it out of
NCSC
packet.
Awesome content.
And you might ask yourself, what am I getting for that thing?
But
and the answer that you come up with that when you look and investigate what this project actually does is zero.
It does not protect the water. That's our point of view. But in addition, you also have to pay for the 90 units of benefit for this clause. You've got to pay a fee for that. Every resident here, so your monthly fee for the water and taxes. I mean, $33,000 plus a year for taxes on this property, this one building. Okay? I mean, Rob's giving you a single individual household. He's not telling you about all the other costs that are in there that you're going to have to pay. Okay. He also is one that cannot stand against the pipeline.
I jump in. Sorry, just one minute.
I'm a resident of Black Lake, and frankly, my dealings with NCESD have been less than anything but warm and fuzzy. Our water rates, we've been here 12 years, have basically, including the sewer charge and all the other charges, our water is the least part of our bill. They have tripled in 12 years. And when I see a four-color glossy brochure, I'm wondering, and they want to raise rates again in 45 days, I'm wondering what, you know, where are they getting the money for this? Why aren't they doing it in black and white? Because I work in graphic design. Anyway, aside from that is, why are they pushing this pipeline? What's their underlying agenda? There has to be some reason they're pushing it. Does anybody know?
I'd love to know the answer to that question, too. When you find that out, what you know?
Well, my suspicion is they want to develop that area down Willow Road.
Well, part of the problem has to be serving additional people. There are people that want to incorporate the home. They don't have enough people yet, so it has to grow for that to happen. And CSD thinks they're planning for up to 7,500 customers in the next 20 to 25 years. That was part of their plan. It was mentioned in the 2009 NMMA report. I don't think I have that one with me. I don't know if I can find that page, but that was the number. 4,100 customers now, going to 7,500. So they're thinking about the future and future. But in this economy, I don't think that's going to happen right now. I don't care who wants to do what.
But I mean, if you're adding in, I mean, our water bills now, and we probably are conservative on water, run with our sewer charge anywhere between $200 and $290 every 2 months.
Mm-hmm. And they'll go well over $400.
I know, I mean, that seems to me to be out of scale for what you're getting.
My point is that it's going to bankrupt so many homes.
Plus property taxes on top of that, right?
Plus property taxes on top of that. It's going to bankrupt this community to the point where you won't be able to sell a house. You have to declare all these costs. If you've got a lien against your property for that 30-year assessment, you have to declare that. And you're going to also have to, most people want to know what your water and sewer bills are. And when you disclose those, they're going to almost go someplace else. I mean, it's going to really impact the community in a very, very negative way.
Well, there's some hidden agenda here why they're pushing this pipeline, and they're
all the money.
Anyway,
we need to get the word out
so that. UCSD meets the first and third
Wednesday
at night.
That's like dealing with a black hole. I think we really have to go around them and just make sure that we have enough notebooks on them.
I write a letter to the district or email to the county board of supervisors. Sign it, seal it, and send it.
Okay.
Hi, my name is John Snyder, as you know, and first of all, I'd like to thank you guys for taking the effort, an excellent presentation. This water thing has been going on since way before, like from 87, I got involved in 1995 when I went down to NCSD. My wife said, you know, you got to go down there and find out what they're talking about, because they're talking about bringing in supplemental water and making us pay for it. Go figure out what's going on. I went down there, and basically the staff lied to me on a number of items. And the more public record requests I made, the more bad it seemed. And so one of the things here that you guys haven't focused on is normally when you have a water system like Santa Maria and you make a connection to that system, it's called an enterprise fund, which is essentially a nonprofit. All of the money that goes in has to pay for what's there. You can't charge any extra. For some reason, this deal with Santa Maria has a profit in it. And I agree with Stevie here. It's not at all clear how or where that money's going. And until we have the documentation to know exactly where all the money's going, nobody should vote for this thing. Secondly, there's another reason this project is really bad. besides the profit, is that it's a fixed quantity of water that's delivered continuously, not only per year but per hour. So you can't cover the winter summer change, and you can't change the cyclical nature. I mean, some years we have a lot of rain here and nobody needs any water. So there's a huge built-in extra cost that's not necessary. If you had a desal plant, you put it in standby and turn the thing off, you wouldn't have to pay electricity. You know, we could do that for a number of years, and that's not been, that would save money. That has never been factored into any desal calculation that I've seen. So I think those are some areas I think that ought to be focused on, and we ought to get answers before anybody talks about doing anything. And then thirdly, my last point was the stipulation isn't something that was done by the court. It was parties that went up there and said, this is what we want to do. And the court said, okay, if you want out of the lawsuit, you can exchange it for that settlement. And that's what happened. So the 66%, 16.7%, and 8.3% are just numbers that came from, as far as I know, nowhere. There's no basis of fact or logic or reason in those numbers. And they're not a factual finding of the court or a decision by the court. So that's something that if you agree to this pipeline assessment, essentially you're agreeing to those numbers and will be responsible for them. And I don't think there's any basis for those. And it'd be interesting to look into those. Because I don't think they're justifiable. I'll try to answer the question on the litigation there. But you don't have enough time in the rest of today to cover the 20 years. And lastly, of course, if you have any questions for NCSD, sitting right there, one of the board members, Mr. Ed Eby, no relation. You know, he's one of the board members. You can ask him, or if I've spent many a day down at NCSD at public comment, that's easy to do down there too and ask your questions there. Or you can send in a letter requesting documents. I've done a lot of those. So there's a lot of sources of information. It is kind of a tangled web. And thank you for taking the time and trying to educate people.
Okay. Everybody that's here, and particularly those of you that are still sitting in the room with us, thanks for coming, and thanks for the thoughtful questions, and I hope you've got some answers now. And I hope you got noted our website and our email address.
Yeah. Keep in touch.
If there's questions that come up, or if you need help, need other petitions, because you filled up the one you've got, then that'd be great.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.